Lord, when we think of the need in the world, how we rejoice this morning that you have given us so much. But of all your blessings, we thank you most for Jesus. And we pray that today we'll learn to trust him more. But we pray in his name. Amen. I recently read a book because the title intrigued me. It was entitled, The Key to Everything. Although I didn't agree with the author's answer to the key to everything, I did create an answer of my own. I believe the key to everything for the Christian is to learn to trust God. And unless things change at the end of my life, if I'm asked the question, what would you have done differently? I'm going to have to say, I would have trusted God more. Trust is something I'm learning to do, and it's hard. And I don't think I'm alone in the struggle, and that's why the message today. But before proceeding, I want to define what we are going to mean this morning by trusting God. Trust is taking God at his word. Trust is believing God will fulfill the promises he's made to us regarding our personal needs. Trust means we're not certain of the next step, but we're certain of God. Our text is the one verse you've heard. It's a verse I hope might help us take a giant step on our journey toward learning to trust our Heavenly Father in a deeper way. First, the text, interestingly, commands us to trust God when it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. That's in the imperative. And lean not on your own understanding. And we might ask, why would God command us to trust him? Well, one reason would be very logical. God's trustworthy. I can confess that God throughout my life has never failed me once. Although at times things have happened that felt maybe like he failed me. And perhaps that's how some of you feel this morning when we're on this subject of trust. Prayers haven't been answered, needs haven't been met, and maybe you're doubting whether God even cares or hears. The good news I want to give you today is, first of all, he does care and he does hear. But the better news is, God doesn't reject us when we as his children have imperfect trust. He doesn't let go of us even though at times we let go of him. A classic example is in the Bible as we think of all the heroes there. Every one of them had a struggle with trusting God. But the classic example is Abraham and Sarah, if you remember. When told that they were going to have a child in their old age, Sarah responded by laughing at the impossibility that God could let her become pregnant at her age of close to 100. Nevertheless, in God's time, Isaac was born. And this promise was fulfilled. And that happened over and over again in Scripture. God's trustworthy even when our trust is imperfect. That's a first reason maybe why God would command us to trust him. But here's a second one. And that's it. And that's the fact that you and I were designed to function best when we link ourselves to God's strength and to God's wisdom. In fact, speaking personally, if I attempted to cope with the personal challenges and needs and decisions and burdens that I bear as a pastor of this church or parenting or whatever else I'm called to do, I know I would collapse under the load. Without trusting God's resources, life would be an unbearable burden, and so would it be for some of you. And the problem today is that many of you are not trusting God, and that's why life is just draining you, zapping you, leaving you filled with stress and anxiety. In fact, I'm going to make a challenge today. And that is, I believe every one of us have to reach a point in our life where we make a decision. We can believe that we're alone in this battle called life, and it's up to us to solve our problems by relying on our own understanding. Or we can believe God wants to partner with us in the action so we never face a crisis alone. And I want to tell you, there's an absolute correlation between our decision to trust and our finding the contentment and the peace Jesus promised his followers. And if you're not finding that contentment and peace, but instead is your life filled with stress and anxiety, panic, chronic fatigue, the problem is you are not trusting God. And we're paying a high price, as there is always a high price to pay for disobeying God's commandments, of which trust is one of them. A second question implied in our text is, well, why is trusting God so difficult? He commands us to trust Him because He's trustworthy and because we were designed to trust Him. Why then is it so difficult? I've given this a lot of thought. And I've concluded that trusting for me is difficult because most of the time when I'm in a crisis, carrying a burden, I'm relying on my own understanding about how God should solve my problem or meet my needs. What I'm calling trust, I've concluded, is really nothing more than my attempt to dictate or to manipulate God into fulfilling my wish list, into giving me what I want, what I think I should have when I want it. That's a hard insight, but perhaps the shoe fits with some of you. You see, trusting God was never meant to be a source for instant gratification. It was never meant to be a carte blanche assurance that all our prayers would be answered according to our will. All God ever promised is that He would direct our lives according to His will, and He would be with us in the pain and the suffering and the burdens and the perplexities that He allows to enter our lives. He promised partnership, but not protection from pain. When Paul was in a Roman prison, he wrote this to the Philippians. Now I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel. As a result, it's become clear throughout the whole palace guard and to everyone else that I am in chains for Christ. This is an important drama. Paul's trust in God didn't magically protect him from life's prisons, and it didn't magically get him out of the prisons. Trusting God is difficult for us because it's hard to understand that trust is not a divine means for avoiding pain. It's not a magic carpet that leads us to the happy, carefree life. And it was never meant to be because Jesus did not promise that to His followers. As I mentioned, and as you met him, I met with the bishop here of the evangelical churches in the Ukraine. And he told me of the suffering that he and his family endured under communist oppression. And at one point he was brought to court and he was offered this ultimatum: give up Christianity or lose your children. Because the state felt that he was infecting his children with Christianity, and if he didn't stop, they would be pulled out of the home. And he told the judge he couldn't deny his Lord. And I thought, if I had been there, deciding between Jesus and my children, I don't know what I would have decided. The judge threw him out of court as a fanatic, and interestingly enough, miraculously, did not take away his children either. And that was one of many incidences of how God protected the underground church during those difficult years. And then I thought of us, as I've said so often, our idea of suffering is to turn the electric blanket down low as American Christians. And I just could hardly identify with that kind of pain versus what we call trusting God, and how we're really constantly wanting just to use God to give us more of the good life, to give us more of the American dream. And I'm offering today that trusting God is difficult because it is not a guarantee of the American dream. It is not protection from suffering. All it ever is Jesus said, I will be with you and I'll direct your paths toward my ultimate will for your life. As I approach the end of my 20th year as your pastor, I've been writing some memories of what God has done here in our church since 74. And you know, I'm amazed. God has worked miracles beyond anything I would have ever dared to ask, think, or dream when I first arrived. He has taken us through every kind of crisis. One thing is sure, this church has not been spared anything. We've been through everything. There's been struggle, there's been pain, there's been downtimes, and yet I want to say God has been absolutely trustworthy. God has been free to do miracles in our midst, because at the beginning when I arrived, I knew this job was light years over my head. So I threw caution to the wind and I dared to recklessly trust God. And He's been faithful. Trusting God is difficult because our faith doesn't protect us from difficulties. It hasn't made my job as your pastor easy. It hasn't protected our church. I look at you and the suffering you've been through in the 20 years I've shared with you. And right now, many of you are in areas where you are in over your heads, where you need resources far greater than anything you have personally. Situations in which you're not going to make it without God's strength. And brothers and sisters, that's how it is. That's reality for the Christian. This is true when it comes to parenting, running a business, facing a medical or relational challenge. God never promised protection. He promised Himself. And to live without this link of trust in our all-powerful, all-loving God is to live with the stress, anxiety, and chronic misery that afflicts so many of us. But I'll tell you this, one thing is certain. When you look back on your life, as I'm looking back on the 20 years I've had with you, we're going to see that God has been faithful in every situation. And what's more, He's used every struggle and every pain to make us more like Jesus. And that's why we're here. We're here to become more like Jesus. And the only way you get that way is through pain. And that leads us to a final question. If trusting God is a command, what does trusting God look like when we're doing it? Our text says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Isaiah writes, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in you. In returning and rest you will be saved. In quietness and in trust shall be your strength. The Lord waits to be gracious to you. Let me see if I can draw you a word picture of what trust might look like. I write my sermons up at Lake Tahoe, as most of you know, and last summer I was sitting on the pier, and a wind was cascading across the surface of the lake, and I was looking at all the boats tied to the various buoys out in front of the pier. And I noticed as the wave action was being kicked up by the wind that the boats began to go up and down with the surface of the water, and they started tugging at their mooring ropes. And here I was sitting on the pier, out in the water, but we were anchored to some rocks below, so we weren't going up and down. I was steady as a rock. And I thought to myself, you know, that's what trusting God looks like. The difference between a non-believer and a believer. We're all in the same water. But we who are Christians are anchored to the rock of God's promises, the absolute solid certainty that He's there with us. Those who don't know Jesus, they go up and down with every wave, every wind, changing wind of circumstance, because they don't have the foundation that you have and that I have as Christians. You see, as God's children, as God's child, speaking personally to you, you're free from this morning of being at the mercy of ever-changing winds of circumstance, whatever that might be in your life today. When a storm is raging, you can say inside through trust, I'm God's child. He loves me. He's working out a plan best for me, and I don't have to go up and down with these happenings. And I don't have to tug at my mooring rope of reality. That picture of trust is really not so unusual, because you and I trust dozens of things every day, if you think about it. We trust the airplane and the pilot and the instruments that you might fly on tomorrow morning on a business trip. We trust those to whom we give our children to childcare. We trust professors who teach us or teach our children. We trust chefs at a restaurant enough to eat food prepared in conditions we have no idea what's going on in terms of the kitchen. So trust, if we're trying to paint a picture, is simply rooted in certainty that we know who we trust, we know those promises, and that keeps us from going up and down like people, non-believers, who know nothing about that kind of peace. Now let me give you a second picture, if that one didn't work for you, and then we'll quit. The last time we visited Disneyland, I took my grandson there. We rode Space Mountain. I don't know if you've been on that ride. It gives you a little clue of what it is, because it said if you have heart problems or high blood pressure or you're pregnant, you don't ride the ride. Well, it was a wild ride, and it occurred to me how much trust I place in the people who monitor the sequence of the cars and in those who had engineered the structure. And I realized trusting God might be like a ride on Space Mountain. We sit in the car of life, and we begin an adventure that sometimes thrusts us into total darkness. And at times the car drops, and it turns corners, and our stomach jumps up into our throat. But as Christians, we can enjoy the ride because we know the track is secure. We know our destination is certain. And above all, we know who is at the controls. Now, God might be allowing you to experience darkness right now. And maybe life is tossing you around like a rag doll. If that's true, let me give you two wonderful promises from the Bible to take home with you. First, from Peter the Apostle. Through faith, you are shielded by God's power, though now you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. You're going to take your suffering, your perplexity, your burden, your need, and it's going to become a trophy that you hold before God, because that's what God used you to make you like Jesus. And that's why you're here. And then these famous words from Habakkuk the prophet. Though the fig tree do not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, the produce of the olive fail, the flock be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. That means today you could lose everything. But if you still have Jesus, you have everything that really matters. Would you bow in prayer with me? Lord Jesus, you are the one who revealed God's true nature to us. Thank you that when we think of God's faithfulness, we think of you. Help us to trust you more, for we pray in that precious name of Jesus.